motives. Here, James 4:3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. Maybe it's selfish prayer. Maybe it's totally selfish prayer. You want it for your own lusts. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. There's the problem. Jesus is the answer. You know, being forgiven. Go to him. Your iniquities separate you between you and your God, and he may hide his face from you. How about unconfessed sin? Or think about this, our unforgiveness of others. Again, I read it earlier, but if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, verse 18. How about pride? Just plain pride in your life. I tell you this, this is Jesus saying this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. This is Jesus talking about the publican versus the Pharisee. The publican, no pride at all. The Pharisee, full of pride. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. How about we let the Lord do it? How about instead of telling the Lord what you want him to do for you, you just tell him, Lord, I'll do anything you want. I'll do it for you. Let him raise you up. How about, look at this one, poor spousal or personal relationships. Peter, 1 Peter 3:7, Peter was a married man. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Get to know your spouse. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. You can't, maybe you're treating your wife like garbage. Maybe you're treating other people. You can't do that. Think about that one. I've often said that your relationship with your spouse is a good barometer of your relationship with the Lord. How about unbelief, doubt, or double-mindedness? If any of you lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God. You know what? That's all of us. I don't know anybody who has all the wisdom in the world, and that's it. I don't need any more. He says, if you lack wisdom, and he means spiritual wisdom, godly wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. And upbraideth not, he doesn't hold back. And it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with a wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Woman too. And it means consistently unstable. You know, we're all unstable at times. We all waver and we doubt, but it's a consistent doubtfulness. Why we should pray? Again, I think that we know why, but watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus says that in Luke 21:36. We have a very present enemy and we need to pray. You know, next week we're going to look at spiritual warfare. But pray that you're accounted worthy to escape all these things. And a lot of people take that text to mean to escape the coming tribulation. And if you're saved, you will. But here, Luke 22:40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. That's the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said that to the apostles, Luke 22:40. You know, one of the things, too, that we need to do, he's saying, pray that you enter not into temptation. When the temptation comes upon you to do that thing you know you're not supposed to do, do you pray? Lord, remove this. Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. You know, we're told in the scriptures to take our very own thoughts captive. Maybe you need to stomp on them before they go too far. It starts in our hearts or it starts in our mind before we actually carry them through. And the Lord says that can be sin, too. Just the thoughts. Here, the next thing from Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:10-12. How do you put this armor on? Praying. You know what? There's times I'll sit there and I'll pray every piece on. Lord, I pray for the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, my loins girt with truth, having the shield of faith and my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having the sword of the Spirit. Pray for it. Pray it that if it takes you each mentioning each one, looking in the verses, Lord, put this on me. And then realize what they mean too. How do you put it on? You pray. He is able, the Lord. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Ephesians 3:20. You know what that tells me? Go big. Pray big. Expect big things from a big God. Why do we pray so lame? Why do we pray weakly, lamely, little? Why not pray huge? Lord, save my neighbor, but why not pray for the president too? Why not pray for, go big. Pray for all kinds of things. Why not? He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, all that we think, or all that we might expect. Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Is that not a reason to pray? For without him, we can't do anything. So pray. That's one of the things he's saying too. Pray. How should we pray? Well, Paul in Romans 8 says, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There are times where you're so burdened down with grief and you're so stressed out and you're so overwhelmed that you're just sitting there and you can't form the words and your eyes are closed and you're just like, Lord. And you know, I think he's hearing you. He's hearing your heart. And I don't know, sometimes those helps or Lord, it says a lot. You know, and I think the Holy Spirit fills in the blanks for us. There's a lot of blanks, but that's what it's saying. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We saw that in Matthew chapter 6, where the Pharisees, they've got their reward, they got the praise of man. They could have waited, they could have prayed in secret, they could have been rewarded by the Lord himself, which would be a much greater reward. They're hypocrites, Jesus says. They love the credit, they love the praise. How about Jude 1:20? Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know what, Lord? Fill me with the Holy Spirit and really pray from your heart. Let the Holy Spirit tell you what to pray for. And here's Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, and some people have the gift of tongues, they can pray in tongues. They have a prayer language. They might not even understand it. But if you are praying in tongues, it's praising the Lord. That's what it is. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I might not know what I'm even saying. But what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. If you have the gift of tongues, and that's all you do, that's not right. Pray in understanding too, and vice versa. If you have the gift of tongues, use it. You've been given it. It's a gift from God. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. And here's some scriptures here to meditate on. Genesis 32:24, wrestling in prayer. Remember Jacob? A lot of people look at that chapter and see Jacob wrestling with God as like a euphemism for prayer. How about Jeremiah 33:3? He just says, call and I will answer. Just call. You know, do you know his number? I can give you his phone number. I got it on my cell phone. It's easy. It's just H-E-L-P. Lord! And not only that, he says, call and I will answer and I will show you things that you don't know. Hidden things, secret things, awesome things, mighty things, right? Revelation 8, verses 3 and 4, talking of prayer as being incense to God. It's a sweet-smelling savor. Hebrews 5:7 speaks of Jesus Christ praying with crying and tears. The Son of God prayed with tears, crying. passionate prayer. It's not the tears, it's the heart. But if it's just tears, then that's not enough, of course. Ephesians here, chapters 1 and chapters 3, we're told to cease not. Here, memorize James 5:16, but pray. The big thing is to pray. I can't make you pray. He can't make you pray, but pray. How to pray for others. And again, here's another prayer from Paul, like the one we saw earlier in Ephesians. This is Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's heavy duty, isn't it? That's awesome. We wonder how to pray for missionaries and others we've never met. Well, Paul never met the Colossians, but he faithfully prayed for them, and his prayers are good examples for us to follow when we're praying, and we want to pray for other people, whether we know them or not. How many of you have prayed for people you've never met them before? I prayed for many people I've never met, and I know I'm not going to meet them until I get to heaven. There are people all over this world right now that I know they're carrying out God's will. They're on the mission field. They're in jail cells. How about that pastor in Iran right now? A lot of us know this guy, and I don't know him personally, but others I know do know this man. Praying for those we don't know. What we can do is go to the Lord and request these 9 points, like Paul, that are necessary for all believers. First of all, number one, that they understand God's will. Jot down next to this Romans 12, 1 and 2. Look it up. Paul, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we seek to know his will, that we seek to know what it is, that we be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we would know what that perfect will of God is, because it's our reasonable duty to know what his will is. That they gain spiritual wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, chapter 3, verse 14. Of course, think of it, that they live lives pleasing and honoring to God. I pray this every day for my kids and others. That they do kind things for others. That they know the Lord deeper every day. That they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and strengthened. That they would endure and persevere in faith. Pray that one, because there's a lot of people that are getting weak right now, and there's a big falling away that is underway and will get worse. People are falling away. That they stay full of Christ's joy. How many Christians do you know right now are not so full of joy? That they always be thankful. Look, if you live in this country, you've got a lot more to be thankful for than almost every other country. Go with it. And that they remain obedient to God's word. And we all have these needs, so when we don't know how to pray for somebody, here's a great example. Jesus' sample prayer. We saw this deeper when we went through this chapter. Again, it's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's prayer is in John 17, because the Lord prays this. This sample prayer is also in Luke chapter 11. But when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, this was his response. He said, "Our Father." You notice that? Realize that God is your heavenly Father. Actually, in Romans 8, verse 15, it says, we cry out to him, Abba, Father, which means personal knowledge of him. Abba means like daddy. You know what I mean? There's an intimacy to it. Our Father. And by saying this, isn't he saying that, he's not saying, okay, don't pray to this one, don't pray to this. He's just saying, pray to the Father. That's it. That's all you need to know. Who is in heaven? And again, prayer is more than talking to, it's listening. How often do we sit there and listen? We don't do that a lot, right? Actually, in Ecclesiastes 5:2, it says, let my words be few. There's some times where I'm just got so many words coming out of my mouth, I have to stop and apologize. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not listening. Hallowed be thy name. That's praise. You know, read Psalm 150. It's just praise, 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 praise. That's all it is. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Seek God's will above yours. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you seek him first in your decision making? Do you seek him first every day? Do you seek him first in your marriage? Do you seek him first in your family? Do you seek him first on the job? Do you seek him first when it comes to finances? Is he the first one you think of? Is he first in everything? Give us this day our daily bread. Take your daily needs to God in prayer. You know, and again, this could mean your daily sustenance physically, your daily sustenance spiritually, which David or Jeremiah is going to tell you is even more important. Me too. Take your needs to God in prayer. Philippians 4:19 says that he will provide those needs to us according to his riches. Do you understand that? That there's no exhausting his supply. That he's not going to say, you've had enough, I can't bless you anymore. You know, you're over, you're overdrawn, Jim. You know, no. According to his riches in glory. Forgive us our sins. Of course, we need to seek forgiveness and cleansing. Again, Psalm 66:18, iniquity in your heart, he's not going to hear you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we forgive others. Whoa. Wow. When he taught this to the disciples, they said, oh, Lord, increase our faith. What do you mean, forgive 7 times 70? Really? The rabbis only taught a few times, Lord. What he was saying was, you're not to count. You're not to take count how many times you forgive. You forgive as many times as is expected. Forgiving others. Following God's forgiving example, Ephesians 4:32, being kind, being tender, to forgive each other. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Seek refuge, protection, and strength from above. You know, in James 1:13, it says that God doesn't tempt you. God doesn't coerce you into sin. You know, sometimes, well, God made me do it, or God forced me, or no, no way, not at all. Never, ever. Again, prayer is not getting my will in heaven, but God's will on earth. God, the creator of the universe, desires to hear from us all the time. And we need to consistently bring our needs and our concerns and our desires to him. And he, according to his will answer and meet every need. Again, it's key to think according to his will. Remember Matthew 6:7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in a church where it was repeat, 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 repeat. The rosary. Repeat it. Say it again. And you know what I found out? Wait a minute. We're praying to somebody else 10 times more than we're praying to God. And the scriptures say, don't pray to anybody but God. What's up with that? And it was the same thing over and over and over. Vain repetitions as the heathen do. And then I realized, well, I must be a heathen. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Well, James 4:3, you ask and receive not again because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. And prayer is often suggested as the cure-all for many wrongs and the key to unlocking many chains. It'd take us forever if we began to talk about all the advantages and benefits of spirit-inspired prayer and prayer with understanding. We can't forget or be unaware that we've got to be wise and pay attention that we don't get deceived by our prayers. There are thousands of kinds of prayers, mainly because there are thousands of kinds of problems. Listen, you know what? Don't get locked into prayers that are written down for you. You know what? I get a lot of emails. You got to pass this prayer on, man. You pass this on to me because I sent it to you and 10 other people. Don't break the chain. You know what? I automatically delete them because I don't believe that. That's not true. It's not. I'm sorry that I might break some little old lady's heart or something like that, but I'm not going to break some kind of chain God's got going because God's into email. Not every prayer is acceptable to God either. The Old Testament prophets railed on Israel for trying to hide their sins behind their prayers. Jesus flat out rejected the prayers of the hypocrites. And James right here in this verse claims that some people ask and receive not because they ask amiss. It's selfish. To avoid being self-deceived, the prayer warrior needs to make purity and honesty an absolute. We can't hide behind the cross while we're hiding some kind of an idol or any kind of an idol in our heart. What might be the idol in your heart? Get rid of it. It's probably you in some way, shape, or form. It could be a pleasure. It could be A lot of things. It could be a bank account. It could be, who knows, toys. A.W. Tozer said that grace saves us, but not us and our idol. Christ's blood washes us, repentant sinners only, not us and our idols. We're justified by faith, but faith never justifies the sin. We can plead forever, and it won't make evil good or wrong right. We might humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and not get our answers or hear nothing. It might be that we're using prayer to disguise disobedience, and the Lord has spoken to me about ritual, more holiness, and the need to have any little idol revealed, and is my sacrifice acceptable to him daily? Ask yourself that at night. Lord, was my sacrifice for today acceptable in your sight? Then to obey is better than sacrifice. So that's it for prayer. I'm just going to read one thing here. If anybody wants a copy of this, you ever heard of the Frenchman Fenelon? Fenelon was a Roman Catholic priest, 17th century. He was one of those guys, too. He went against the church for a lot of their wrongs. He said this. Look, it's very, very, very simple. He wrote this thousands of years ago. Listen, he says, tell God all that's in your heart, just like one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles, that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys, that he may sober them. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you to conquer them. Talk to him of your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved tastes for evil, your insatiability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself as to others. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, and troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You will never exhaust the subject. It is continually being renewed. People who have no secrets from each other never want subjects of conversation. They do not weigh their words, for there is nothing to be held back. Neither do they seek for something to say. They talk out of the abundance of the heart without consideration, just what they think. Blessed are they who attain to such unreserved, familiar intercourse with God. Let's pray. Lord, that's what we pray tonight, that we could come before you every day, pour out our hearts, have an intimacy with you, Lord, that bars nothing else. Lord, we can come to your throne of grace, speaking boldly to Abba, our Father, that we may abide in your word, that nothing hinders our prayers. Lord, I pray that we would pour out our feelings, our wants, our desires, the deceitful things in us even, Lord, we'd pour those out. Lord, our desire to do things that are wrong. Lord, what we would like to do for you. Lord, praying for others, praying in the Spirit, praying for the unsaved, praying for the people that they'll endure, praying for each other, praying for this church, praying for those who preach the gospel. Lord, all this, we pray that, Lord, there's no lack of things to pray for. Why are we so weak in prayer? Why are the greatest men of God always saying that their weakest point is prayer? Lord, may it be our strongest point. The enemy quakes when we pray. A church, an army of prayer warriors could do so much on the earth today. Lord, help us to pray for our country, because it's not faltering, it's free falling. And Lord, it's just screaming to the bottom of the pit, and it's going to crash. And Lord, we need to pray. So Lord, move our hearts to pray. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. May we pray like we've never prayed before. Lord, I pray that nobody would go home and just forget about this, that this would dwell in their hearts in such a way that it would come back. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. Lord, I pray that again, we would know that it's being in your presence and it's being with the God of this universe, and it's just talking to the one who loves us more than anybody. Lord, may we see all of this in our prayer life. Teach us to pray. Lord, may we come to you out of our helplessness, knowing that you're the answer to everything, to the sin, to the needs, to all of it, to our food. Everything that we need is in you. May we pray. May we be like Paul. Everything he received, he asked for in prayer. And he knew the only thing he had to fear. He didn't fear men. He just feared being out of your will. May we be like that. May we pray like Jesus in John 17. May we pray unceasingly. May we pray anywhere and everywhere for for all things. And thank you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.